Miles Mathis Musings and Commentaries, www.milesmathismusingsandcommentaries.com. I am now almost 51, and it took me this long to figure out how the world really works. This is what I finally understood: all famous people are there to misdirect you. All of them. They didn't accidentally get famous. They don't accidentally get on TV or in movies or in books or on CDs or on the internet. And they certainly don't earn their way into these positions, as is now clear. So how did they get there? Why do you have to see them and hear them all the time? Why do you know who they are? Because they were placed there. They were chosen to fill that position, and they were chosen in order to misdirect you from the truth. Look at it this way: say you wanted to control everyone in the world. Well, people are at different levels. They have different interests and beliefs and levels of intelligence. So if you want to control everyone, you have to place your guys at all these levels, on all possible paths. If you are a football coach setting up a defense on the field, you don't put all your tacklers in the middle of the field, or all on one side. You spread them out. You want to block all possible paths to the goal. You have to defend against the run and the pass, the short ball and the long ball. It is the same with government. If you want to govern people, you have to keep them on the path you have chosen for them. That is how the governors understand government. You may think government is about keeping people employed and building highways and educating children, but it isn't. It is about governing them. Moving them around at will. Think of a governess. She keeps the kids out of trouble and molds them into the sort of adults her employer or her society requires. Same thing with the governors. They keep you from troubling them and mold you into someone who can make them richer. That is what our society requires, and very little else. With that goal in mind, the last thing the governors want is enlightened people or self-actualized people. Those people might make money for themselves, think for themselves, and govern themselves. People like that make very poor clients. People like that are just trouble. So the governors have to head them off. Since people take many different paths, the governors have to place their blockers and tacklers everywhere. They have to have blockers for smart people and dumb people, lazy people and ambitious people, caring people and uncaring people, progressive people and conservative people, men and women, young and old. And they have to have blockers and tacklers up and down the field, on the 50-yard line as well as on the 5-yard line. If you get past one line of tacklers, they have to have another line ready for you. To switch the visualization, no matter how high up the mountain you climb, they have to have some guru on a goat ledge positioned there to shunt you off on the wrong path. No matter how deep down the rabbit hole you have climbed, they have to have some bearded caterpillar waiting for you to give you bad advice in solemn tones, recommending you eat the wrong cake or try the wrong door. I admit it took me a while to figure this out. Over the past decade I have lost more and more of my old heroes. I got around them and moved on up the mountain. But then I came to another set of heroes perched up there, and instead of learning from my past mistakes and looking at these heroes with suspicion, I instead protected them from questions like that. I didn't want to lose them, so I didn't look closely at them. I nodded politely in the old ways and knelt down for the next lesson. But eventually they said something that didn't fit the script, and the curtain was torn. I then felt like Jim Carrey in The Truman Show, when his car radio accidentally picks up the director's channel. I was forced to pick up my bamboo mat and kettle of fish and move further up the mountain. No matter how high I got, I was always met by a new expert, pointing sideways along a path and smiling knowingly. Finally, I figured out the game. I figured it out by noticing that all these guys popped up there like jack-in-the-boxes, rising up from underground tunnels dug centuries earlier by an army of evil moles. They knew I would come eventually, me or someone like me, and they had made plans. The entire mountain and rabbit hole had been trapped and mined, and I began to look around for David Bowie in the labyrinth. Like Bowie, these pretend sorcerers gave themselves away to a keen eye, since they got more desperate the nearer you got to the truth. The longer I stayed on the right path, the less likely I was to be fooled by the next trap, and they knew that. That doesn't mean any of this is easy. Maybe the hardest part is that you have to pass through a treacherous middle level on the mountain. Once you pass the halfway point on the mountain, the gurus get more clever. You already know a lot by that time, so they have to take that into account. They have to lead the lesson by reteaching you a lot you already know. This makes you trust them. One of their greatest tricks is unmasking gurus on lower levels, although those gurus are really their colleagues. They say, "Oh, by the way, you know that the gurus at level 42, 43, and 44 are working for the man, right? They were trying to keep you from climbing up to this level, because they are jealous of the view I have from here. Beautiful, isn't it?" Guru 45 then subtly suggests his view is superior to views from even higher, and that you have no need to climb up further. He has to say that in just the right way, though, at the right speed, with the right inflections, or you remember that Guru 44 just told you pretty much the same thing. You hit another hard part when you realize all the gurus are planted. As soon as that sinks in fully, they stop sending you gurus. The jack-in-the-boxes stop popping up from the mountain ledges, and you find yourself alone with the birds and the bears. That is scary not only because you have no one to talk to, but even more because your trick of doing the opposite of what you were told no longer works. You can no longer wait for the guru to point left and then move right. You have to decide on your own, without the help of negative evidence. I know some of you are laughing, but do you understand how hard that is? If you are a good ways up the mountain, just think how many of your decisions were decisions of avoidance. Compare the number of paths you refused because they looked bad to the number of paths you chose because they looked good. If you are like me, most of your progress has been due to the former. Given 10 paths, you chose number 7 because 1 to 6 and 8 to 10 all stank. And they all stank because you could see lots of stinky people clogging up those paths. The choice was easy. But once you get past the gurus, you no longer have stinky people showing you how not to live. Up above you are only empty paths, none of them either beckoning you or offending you. All is silent. With the mountaintop draped in cloud, how do you know which way to go? Let us transport ourselves back down the mountain some ways, where the gurus are as thick as flies on a summer dunghill. At this level, I will not find many who wish to learn my lesson. The students are in thrall to the teachers, and do not wish to fall out of thrall. These students will tell me that one side or the other must be right. Given a certain question, they can't all be wrong, can they? Well, if they are all paid to be wrong, they can. Neither side is ever telling you the truth, because they are both trying to make a buck off of you. The gurus are screwing you from both ends. The people they are hiring to debate gun control in the media on both sides are working for the banks. The escalation benefits them from all directions. So make a list of all the famous people selling both sides of this argument. No, really. Make an actual list. Write down all the people you love to hate who are on the other side. Then write down all the people that you think are on your side. Then ask yourself, are any of them speaking any sense? Or are they all promoting this escalation one way or the other? This is how it goes, on all topics. I say that not as a champion of capitalism or of the US system in general, but only as a champion of reason. I am all in favor of trade unions and worker-owned companies, but at the same time I would not like to see a co-op of Walmart, McDonald's, and USPS employees running the country. While the system we have doesn't put the best people at the top, Marxism wouldn't either. They want you to think there is a lot of political violence going on, even though there isn't, just as now they want you to think there are mass murders every month, although there aren't. The billionaires love a manufactured world of fear and chaos, because fear and chaos keep all markets brisk. In a world of love and satisfaction, all sales would plummet. This is why we saw George Bush telling people to go out and buy stuff after 9/11. They found that they had overplayed that one by a tad, and that people were so shocked they had stopped buying. You want to scare people just enough to make them buy stuff to decorate the bunker, but not enough to send them down into it. They learned their lesson there, and they keep the security level at a constant bright orange now, instead of blinking red. At orange, most people will be at Walmart every other day stocking up on toilet paper, baking soda, and camouflage pants. At red, they will have padlocked the shutters, armed the booby traps, and lit the candles. Some will say, "What about you? How do we know you aren't another posted guru, planted to misdirect us?" Well, I'm not famous, am I? I am not on TV, am I? I am not promoted by some studio or consortium or publisher or think tank. No one is sending you here. If you got to these pages, you got here on your own, probably by lucking out in a web search. Coverage is coverage, you know, positive or negative. As they say, all press is good press as long as they spell your name right. Normally, Wikipedia blackwashes people it doesn't like unmercifully. Although we see large parts of his page spun negative, we see surprisingly large parts spun positive. You will say those parts were written by his acolytes, but that is to ignore how Wikipedia normally works. Normally, if you go on a page of someone the institutions hate, you will find a complete blackwash. If you try to add any positive remarks or correct the negative ones, your comments will be deleted immediately. You shouldn't trust anyone, especially someone you haven't met in person. You should read everything closely and make a decision based on continuity and logic, not on trust. So how far back does this rule go, you will ask? Is every famous person in history a plant, or just the living ones? I intend the rule to apply to only the living ones, and the recently dead. I have shown in recent papers that we can take the rule back to the Civil War, but the further back we go, the more exceptions there will be. My research is limited, of course, so I can't address every famous person who ever lived. But any famous person from the past who is still promoted heavily should immediately fall into your bag and ring a bell. Since the broad control of media didn't take effect until recently, there will no doubt be many exceptions to the rule even in the late 19th century and early 20th century. There may be some few exceptions still. But don't make the mistake of assuming that just because you have gone back before 1947 that the control no longer exists. It was less perfect and less broad, but it has existed for many centuries, and perhaps forever. At Cutting Through the Frog, I mean fog. I have had several requests for a compilation of my comments at the recent party. I edited these down myself, so hopefully this will be useful to someone. I see zero indication of a violent uprising, so it looks like they will just continue on with the blue pill and the matrix, which have worked so well for so long. Basically, they brought this on themselves with 9/11 and Homeland Security, and they would be facing harder times even without me. Their response to push back against Operation Chaos was to create even more chaos, but they are beginning to see that isn't working. At some point I expect them to see some amount of reason and begin scaling back to 1990 levels. Nobody wants to live in the current world, including them. Just witness Hollywood to see the sort of blowback they are getting from their own projects. Do those rich privileged people seem happy to you? No. They have to try to have relationships in the same manufactured climate you do, which is impossible no matter who you are. You don't want any insulators beneath the floors. You want charge rising naturally. It can do that through rock and I assume concrete, and of course wood, but it can't do that through insulation. The human body is notoriously weak compared to other animals, and is weaker now than it has ever been in history. It has been weakened by purposely polluted air, water, and food, and heightened levels of unnatural radiation can only add to the toxic mix. I don't believe that radiation from Fukushima has irradiated the entire Pacific, or that it is threatening the west coast of the US. The last thing you want to do is block heat rising out of the ground, since that is the same as charge. You are a charge engine, just like everything else. So don't insulate subfloor and don't wear shoes around the house. Except leather soled. It is easy to opt out of the scanners at the airport. Every time I travel, I simply request an opt-out. The solution is to quit reading and following this stuff. People need to boycott the media from top to bottom. Don't watch it on TV, don't subscribe to any mags or newspapers, and don't click on it online. Make the ad revenue go to zero. Use ad blocker. The other solution is to face down your friends. Don't tee off on the first hole and move on. Tell them they are dead wrong and that you expected more of them. If people want to be stupid or corrupt, they should have to play golf with other stupid and corrupt people, not us. If these people lose all their intelligent friends, maybe they will be forced to reassess their positions. And if they don't, at least you won't have to look at their stupid faces. I bring not peace but a sword. It is time for the 5% to assert themselves and lead. If we don't do it, nobody will. 1984 and Brave New World, which we now see weren't warnings, they were brags. I am not helpless to any commands, especially of a physical nature. I command, I don't get commanded. Social problems, yes, due to stupid comments from everyone around me. Blind to manipulation? You have to be kidding. I am not impressed by crocodile tears, and tend to laugh when I see them. I don't read poetry anymore. I've read all the good stuff many times and there is nothing new worth reading. Google lists my recent paper second, but Bing doesn't list it at all. Very strange. I know that just leaves you with Google, but for some reason Google is the only one not seriously interfering with my numbers and not uplisting my critics. No, it's going the same speed as the other ball, since they go the same distance in the same time. They both go four. But the ball in the curve will appear to slow down in the curve, so you are right. You are not seeing wrongly. It appears to slow down because it is no longer going forward only. It is going forward and sideways at the same time. Your eye sees the distance as shorter than it is, so you think it has slowed down. The analogy is a ball in a pinball machine, having to take a complex path to move a short distance. Your eye slurs over the path and sees only the total distance, so it looks like the pinball is slowing down in the machine. But it isn't. There is plenty of evidence to go to court on 911, and I would like to see that happen. If it were up to me, I would take them to court myself tomorrow. So I don't think we should get past it in that sense. Not in the move on sense. We were at the move up phase years ago, and subpoenas should have been passed out by the thousands. But that didn't happen. What we need is a vast boycott of all major media, all useless products, all companies with any ties to the gov, all gov, and anything else that comes to mind. Just say no to everything you can say no to. Start by recycling your cell phones and going back to ground lines. I live without them easily. And so did you for years. Those who don't wish to believe will always come up with some lame explanation or pushed math, as they did with the ball bearings. The friction argument against pi equals 4 doesn't work at all, as I show. Besides, most people can follow a ball easier than fluid, in my opinion. Fluid just confuses most people, since it brings up the question of fluid mechanics. I believe each of our actions is etched in time somehow, and can't be destroyed. That achieves the same thing, without the need to relive the same life over and over. The past can't be destroyed, and always remains a part of the present. So you build on your past lives and past actions. Everything you do remains eternally important, without reoccurring eternally. I don't want to talk about aliens, since I don't know anything about them. It is like talking about gods. There may be aliens, but the gov alien projects are all misdirection. I see a lot of evidence of higher powers, but it is all pretty murky beyond that. If they wanted us to know, we would know. Whether gods or aliens, they don't want us to know, and I don't see it as a code we are going to crack. Life is some sort of test, and if we had the answer sheet, the test wouldn't work, would it? You know enough to know right from wrong, but you are never going to be told all the secrets. If you knew all the secrets, the fun would be gone from the game anyway. So stick with the questions that have answers and leave the other ones be. I have shown there are a lot of questions that can be answered that haven't been. Those are the ones I am interested in looking at. Josh would have to admit he is the first Jew to blow the Dreyfus affair ever? Which doesn't say much for Jewish openness. Of course, I am the first Gentile to blow hundreds of projects, which is also difficult to explain. It doesn't say much for the perspicuity of Gentiles, does it? So you seem to have your pick, lying manipulators or dumb as dirt sheep. All of us here are choosing the third route, but despite the numbers in the counter above, we are not quite a majority, are we? Doesn't really matter, as I have said before. Life isn't about majorities or political wins. It is about private wins. It is about setting yourself, and those around you, up for your next life and all the next lives down the line. In other words, your long-term relation to the gods or muses or whatever you wish to call them is important. Far more important than your relation to the current ruling party. Life may seem long, but it is really rather short. It is just a page in a much longer book. All the wise have known that, and it doesn't take a guru to see it. Above 100 voted. Here are the results. Best of 2018. Titanic, 49 votes. Best of all time. JFK/Hidden Kings, 22 votes. Best physics. Pi equals 4, 17 votes. Best guest paper. Ancient spooks, 37 votes. I think the most important fake events paper I have written would be the one on the Crusades. Who would have thought that the popes, kings, crusaders, templars, and Byzantine emperors would all be from the same family? The research there covered many centuries, and it tells us what is going on now, since the same family is still in charge. Since the near future is always more important than the past, I think many of my science papers are more important than any of my history papers. The Pi paper is bigger than most people realize, since it will allow for the correction of thousands of bad equations. The correction to the calculus will allow for the correction of even more equations. The unified field papers are fundamental, and will create a revolution in physics by themselves. The most important is my diagramming of the nucleus, since it uses what I discovered about unification to rewrite the periodic table. It links physics and chemistry, taking my ideas out of the theoretical and firmly into the practical. The future applications are nearly endless, and even I can't begin to imagine what they will be. Putin is the Russian equivalent of Trump, Gates, or Buffett, a minor billionaire listed to keep your eyes off the trillionaires. In the US these are the Rockefellers, Vanderbilts, and a few others. In Russia they are, I don't know, Oppenheimers, Rothschilds? Only a few families own the entire world, but I am not privy to the current divisions. I don't know who runs Russia right now. Given that election oversight is non-existent, it doesn't take much to steal an election. You just make up some numbers and report them. The president is just a teleprompter reading stooge. Who would be paying Saudi Arabia $500 million in 2017, and for what? This one is easy, it was for the bombing of Yemen. Well, since the war in Yemen is about maintaining US/Saudi control of Yemen and making sure that Yemenis have no say in their own governance, the answer to that is also easy. The US and Russia aren't enemies and never have been. Mueller is another crypto-Jew from the same families, playing Judy to Trump's punch. As with Starr's investigation of the Clintons, nothing will ever come of it. The investigation is manufactured to keep your eyes on Trump and Russia, while all the real action is elsewhere. Blackwater was a major part of the coalition that bombed Yemen starting in 2015. They now call themselves Academy, but it is the same people. The US doesn't need any help in stealing an election, hacking social media, or in psychological operations in general. Yes, Mossad is also good at these things, but it is always a junior partner in these US/UK/Israel worldwide projects. In many of them C9-11 it is glad to act the fall guy. This URL. If, by unfortunate means, non-magical people do happen to observe the working of magic, the Ministry of Magic sends Obliviators to cast memory charms upon them, causing them to forget the event. From the wiki page on Muggles. Just substitute agent for Obliviator, non-agent for non-magical person, Intel hoax for magical event, CIA for Ministry of Magic, and propaganda blitz for memory charm. If, by unfortunate means, non-agents do happen to see through obvious hoaxes, the CIA sends agents to confuse and misdirect them, causing them to forget the event. As you see, the Harry Potter project is stupidly transparent in a thousand places, and only readers that had been sucking on blue pills their whole lives could fail to see through it. The modus operandi of these people is to tell as much truth as the project will bear, so the trick is to unwind the project, discovering where the truth ends and the misdirection begins. This is another eyes-off project, in which the audience is given a partial reading of data to prevent them from a fuller reading. With Velikovsky and worlds in collision, the main physical theory involves Venus settling into its current orbit. I have shown in previous papers that this excess heat is explained by the charge field, and planetary recycling of charge. Due to the bipolar nature of the field, all planets pull in charge at both poles, but since part of this charge is upside down, spinning opposite to the other part, we get photon spin UPS, which are the same as a heat increase. It is a magnetic effect that creates heat in a very simple way. The field is what causes spin to begin with, creating her heat by a sort of photon friction. Infrared is heat. In 1950, the families were consolidating their control over all parts of society via the CIA and other institutions and programs. They are teaching their converts that there are no photons. They also misdirect at all times away from the charge field and to the M field, though the two aren't the same. Solar system was not gravity only. It appears that charge had become a classified secret sometime in the first half of the 20th century, and the governors didn't want to divulge any of it to the public or to academic scientists. They wanted to keep it for a few military scientists. It Velikovsky and Worlds in Collision was part of the project. It acted to squelch discussion and research in these fields for decades, especially in academia. Why? Because if you got beyond Velikovsky, you would be like me. You would be looking in your rearview mirror at most mainstream science in all fields. Obviously, they couldn't have that. To maintain control of science, they had to keep everyone penned in the gravity only, shut up and calculate, relativity/QED fog that defined the 20th century. If your average academic scientist had understood the charge field, the revolution would have been quick and fatal. All the big names at the top of all fields would have been guillotined, and their pet projects would have fallen with them, including black holes, Big Bang, gravity waves, inflation, Higgs bosons, spooky forces, and all the rest. Since this mainstream fraud not only hides many classified projects but also allows for billions in theft from worldwide treasuries, you have a pretty clear cui bono for any misdirecting projects like Velikovsky. This was another big blackwashing of the truth, and Velikovsky was another anti. The ideas to be blackwashed were 1. Charge, 2. Serious reading of historical texts as honest physical accounts, 3. Amateurs as scientists, 4. The public as a serious player in the history of science. As far as 4 goes, the governors were tired of having to answer questions about science funding or anything else, so they wished to jettison any and all public participation in science, except as a prostrate consumer. Before WW2 and especially before WW1, the public had maintained some education in science. Consult old issues of Scientific American to get a taste of this. Back then, the magazines had to treat their audiences with some respect, since those audiences had been partially educated. Those same magazines can now treat their audiences as ninnies, since in almost all cases they are. They know nothing but the current propaganda. Read back to back the first issue of Scientific American from 1845 and the latest issue, and you will have a capsule of the precipitous drop in intelligence of the average American science reader, a drop planned and abetted over the past century and a half. But back to Velikovsky. He was the anti here because he was hired and set up specifically to fail. The entire series of books was written to fail, and the surrounding controversy was composed to blackwash all the ideas he promotes. Did he help the cause of charge, or of a serious reading of ancient texts, or of planetary influences, or of anything else? No, he damaged them irreparably at a time when they were on the rise, and I am telling you that was no accident. I am just surprised they didn't later blackwash him as a pedophile, Satanist, or wife-beater. Had the project peaked 50 years later, they probably would have, but the 50s were not the time for that. Velikovsky was a spook, but he was an old-world spook who thought too much of himself to put his name through that kind of sewer. Now, the spooks are not so proud or elevated. They will do whatever it takes to promote the old projects, as long as it pays handsomely. As usual, it looks like they saw me coming, since the Velikovsky affair was the perfect pre-blackwashing of all my discoveries. Via charge, I can be fatuously linked to Velikovsky and flushed without a second or even a first reading, and this is just how the mainstream wants it. I don't really think anyone predicted my coming, and my guess is someone like me was probably on the rise in 1950. They have since buried him so completely not even a gravestone remains. Probably he didn't have my tenacity. But what was created for him can be retuned overnight for me, and it has been via the Thunderbolts and other players. However, as you have seen, their projects aren't working against me, and there are many reasons for that. To start with, the projects have lost all subtlety. Used to getting their way, the spooks have become overconfident and lazy, and they have lost their edge. Beyond that, the anti-education project has turned out to be a two-edged sword, cutting back on its makers. Meaning, the governors have gotten stupider along with the rest of us. They can't recruit the talent they used to, because it simply doesn't exist. They have had to breathe the same polluted air the rest of us have, and it appears they forgot to install the fluoride filters at Langley. But the main reason they have failed is that they didn't predict or prepare for someone like me. How could they? When in history have they had to? My method of advancement is unprecedented, and I doubt you can point to any analog in history. I have piggybacked on their own tools like the internet, which didn't exist until recently. So there is no way anyone could have predicted my form of attack. It has been so serendipitous and unorthodox, even I failed to plan it or predict it. As an almost overnight creation of the muses, I have turned out to be as unanswerable as a talking unicorn. My revolutionary prediction of 2014 has come to pass, sending the mainstream even further under the bed. In September of 2014, I was the only one predicting, doing all the math and mechanics, that solar cycle 25 would begin in 2018. Everyone else was predicting 2019 or 2020. It was revolutionary since it would prove I was right and the mainstream was wrong. While they are admitting I was right, they are sure to continue to pretend I don't exist. The fact that the mainstream feel the need to hide not only failing to publicize my work but failing to publicize the solar cycle itself proves they are running scared. They have been forced to bury an entire solar cycle for at least 8 months, just to avoid facing the truth. The mainstream cannot deal with me on any level, so the only thing they can do is bury their heads and pretend that history is not proceeding without them. After all, the sun is not going to quit doing his thing just because they decide not to report it. And, likewise, I am not going to stop doing my thing just because they fail to report it. People make their predictions for when this solar cycle will end and the next one will start, said Lehman. Sometime in 2019 or 2020, some people will be proved right and others wrong. On page 14, Miles explains why he is able to accurately predict the start of solar cycle 25 while the mainstream cannot. Have been taught is the gravity field, or perhaps the Lagrangian, and since they don't realize both the gravity field and the Lagrangian have always contained the charge field, and have been unified, they could not do what I am doing. Definition of solar cycle from Wikipedia. The solar cycle or solar magnetic activity cycle is the nearly periodic 11-year change in the sun's activity, including changes in the levels of solar radiation and ejection of solar material, an appearance, changes in the number and size of sunspots, flares, and other manifestations. Solar maximum and solar minimum refer respectively to periods of maximum and minimum sunspot counts. Cycles span from one minimum to the next. They have been observed by changes in the sun's appearance and changes seen on Earth, such as auroras, for centuries. Changes on the sun cause effects in space, in the atmosphere, and on Earth's surface. My readers are already aware that modern art critics are the scum that scum scrapes off its shoes. Supposing we make it through the current cultural nadir without going extinct from pure vileness, someday the writing of today will be taught in schools as an example of all to avoid. We now laugh at 19th-century writers like Bulwer Lytton, but his purple prose, "It was a dark and stormy night," was just cliché. It was never reprehensible. Art criticism began hitting lows never before imagined by writers of any stripe by the early 1900s, and it has continued to devolve and deconstruct decade by decade since then. Every year I think we have hit the abyss, but somehow these semi-lettered fellows find a way to go deeper. They find new ways to combine crashing insincerity with technical clumsiness and an ignorance of every field they address. But as we have discovered in the past 5 years, it is even worse than that. Art criticism isn't where it is by sheer accident or incompetence. Being from the families, art critic Jerry Saltz demanded his due, so they had to find some way to make him semi-famous. So they inserted him into art criticism, which even they know is the bottom of the barrel. Here he can thrash about all he wants. It is hoped that any self-destructing he does as an art critic will likewise further besmirch art history. They have to drive off all real artists and all real art connoisseurs and all people with intelligence, because if they happen to spend too much time in the room, they will see through the smoke and mirrors. They will see what I finally saw: modern art is a magnificent and long-running con, a fake of monstrous proportions, used mainly for money laundering, but also as an important part of Operation Chaos. It allows the bankers to launder astonishing amounts of money with no oversight, while helping tear society apart at the seams. A ruptured society is far more profitable, for any number of reasons I don't need to repeat here. As I have told you, the sexual recession, like the death of art, is no accident. This splitting of the sexes has been planned and manufactured over many decades, all to increase profits. Sexually repressed people spend far more money to compensate, and this has been known for almost a century. What they would have taught you in the 19th century. If you had taken an art class, it would have been understood that any possible thing you might try to do, not just art, should be good, make sense, and not be stupid. He, art critic Jerry Saltz, failed because his rank in the families was too low. If he had been the son of a duke or a Cohen, he could have become successful no matter what. They might have even allowed him to paint flowers or figures. Art was promoted because it was bad. Those in control of the art world kept real artists out of the field, which kept real art connoisseurs and all other intelligent people out of the field, which allowed it to continue to be co-opted by the bankers and propagandists. If you are like most modern people, you probably don't even know how to write. You know how to text, but probably have a hard time signing your name. And odds are there is nothing artistic about your writing, and that is because you have never practiced making it artistic. In the time of my grandparents, they had entire classes devoted to penmanship. I have my grandfather's high school yearbook, and almost everyone's cursive is beautiful. Now, yearbook notes are just scribbles, mostly illegible. If you are from a family of dukes or Cohens, absolutely anything you do, no matter how paltry, stunted, or malformed, can be called skilled art. And if you are not from those families, nothing you do, no matter how skilled, creative, or artistic, will ever be called art or ever be promoted. Art critic the least artistic people that have ever existed. Their misunderstanding of art is so complete it is surprising they can remember how to spell it. Art should express emotions. That is what it does best. But whether they are easy to understand is beside the point. Understanding is done by the viewer, not the artist. The artist has no control over the sensitiveness or intelligence of a viewer. Some viewers will understand more than others, but the artist is not responsible for misunderstanding or lack of understanding. Cats are more picky about people. They are a finer judge of character than dogs. As for my cats, they come when I call them. They go on walks with me. They run to be picked up and then purr and rub on my beard. They hate to be put down. They sleep next to me or on top of me at night, the three of them often trapping me to where I can hardly move. This is because they know I am a fellow artist. We all have good taste. We all know what beauty is, and we know it is important. All the famous modern artists were from rich families. Yes, some of them are sold as coming from the lower middle class, just as they sell you many movie stars that way. But it isn't true. They are lying and I have proved it over and over. These people are all from the same families, and those families are very wealthy. If you do your research, you will find that all famous modern artists had an inside track. They were to the gallery born in some way. Most of them can be traced in a very short line to the major banks and investment companies. The art world is full of privileged people, who made it because they were connected. The art world is made up of them and only them. There are no exceptions. No one got in strictly on talent, since none of them are talented. No one got in strictly on skill, since none of them are skilled. None of them got in on hard work, since none of the art displays any degree of hard work. I hate what they are. I hate them as liars and cheats and frauds. I hate them for destroying real art and replacing it with their own garbage. That has nothing to do with envy. Envy is felt toward those who are better than us, and these people are better than no one. What I feel toward them is not envy, but revulsion. I literally thank the muses every night that I am not part of the modern art scene. I thank them for sparing me the company and kinship of such people. Because those voices in your art critic Jerry Saltz head aren't demons, Jerry. They are furies, hounding you with the truth for your crimes against the natural order. You are faking it and aren't a genius. You and your cousins have inverted the natural order so that you can see yourselves in the media. You have stolen art for yourselves, driving real art underground. You have stolen literature for yourselves, driving real literature underground. You have stolen science for yourselves, driving real science underground. You have stolen, squashed, perverted, killed, or redefined everything to suit your own pathetic sense of self, but it hasn't worked, as we knew it wouldn't. You know the truth despite everything and it haunts you. This is also the way the world works, on a deeper level. It is what the families are in deepest denial about. It is what they cannot buy themselves out of, talk themselves out of, or calm themselves out of. I am not haunted by any such doubts. Just as my cats like me, my nights aren't haunted by demons or furies. My days and nights are watched over by muses, who comfort me constantly. They guide me and protect me. They give me things to do and assure me my job is well done. No, they don't provide me with piles of money or fame, but it is because they know the true value of those things. They provide me with what I need, and in return I defend art to the best of my ability. I defend science to the best of my ability.